throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. What are you looking for?
My phone.
Okay.
Sorry.
I didn't
stop the show. We got a missing phone.
Sean's lost his phone. It's really rolling there. You know where it's at?
Home?
Exactly where he left it.
Well, of course. You know where it'll be when he finds it? The last place.
The last place he saw it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
I have no room to talk. You know what I did yesterday?
I know what you did. I know one thing you did.
I left my phone in the gym.
You also left your
I was all
tripod
over. Yeah,
here.
I put some miles on my truck yesterday. I left stuff. You know what I pulled? I pulled a Jared.
Oh, well.
Leaving stuff behind. I always do that.
Well, that's not positive. That's not positive self-talk, Jared. Do we need to have
you know what I've never done, though? I've never left my kids behind. I've always remember them. But I'll leave my phone,
you know,
I'll leave a tripod, I'll leave a battery pack.
Not only is Kevin and Katie both start with a K, if you're thinking Home Alone like I am, it's also five-letter names.
Oh, boy.
Can't you just see?
It's almost Christmas season.
Your wife slapping her cheek and go, Katie!
Hopefully the wet bandits don't show up because Katie will have that taken care of. She watches that movie a lot. You know, there's a new one she's been watching and over. Yeah, it's a campy money grab, but
It's a Home Alone?
It's called Home Sweet Home Alone or something like that.
Did you see the memes that were going around Thursday on Thanksgiving?
No.
With compared Derek Carr's current look to the wet bandit,
yeah.
Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
Pretty similar. And what's going on with his eyes? It's like he had some funky contacts in. Did you notice that?
I did not.
It was wild. No. Anyway, rankings.
Whatever contacts he was wearing, he was able to see his wide receivers.
Well, when they're that open,
yeah,
it works out pretty good.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, just throw it up, and even if they don't catch it, it was going to be a penalty.
Third and long, man, that's just... Yeah, okay.
Glad there was a lot of stuff to talk about other than
Friday.
That.
Glad we were off on Friday, yeah. But yeah, we haven't even touched NFL.
Oh, heck no. I mean, come on.
We haven't even touched it. Oh, by the way, the OSU Cowboys are in the Big 12 Championship with a chance of getting the playoffs.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the rankings today.
Cool.
The penultimate set of rankings came out last night. It's what good news for OSU, and I think even better news than it's being portrayed in my mind. So we'll hit that toward the end. More fallout from Lincoln Riley leaving the OU head coaching search. See what happened last night on Twitter? Twitter was ablaze.
I was a little hooked up, but something with Roy Manning.
Roy Manning.
What'd he do? Is he double recruiting?
It's what it looks like. It looks like he was on the trail with Bob and texting USC recruits all at the same time. That has to be illegal.
That has to be a violation.
And it's starting to feed in, you know, piece by piece, day by day, as things just start to filter out about the situation, it kind of starting to fall in line with what appears to be just a total dupe job by Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. The further away we get from Sunday, the more we learn about this, the more it feels like, I don't know that he knew he was going to USC, but he knew he wasn't going to be at Oklahoma.
Right.
And so, you know, this is... explains a lot of what we saw all year long. And maybe because the recruiting was going so well numbers wise, you overlooked exactly what he was.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. What was he? When you look at the numbers, what exactly was it? Any new rumblings in the coaching search we'll get to. Also, high school hoops last night and rankings.
Real quick on that note, day by day, Lincoln Riley is looking a lot better than Kevin Durant with how they both exited the state.
A lot better?
I'm sorry, Kevin Durant's looking a lot better.
Okay.
I said that wrong.
Looking the same to me. Already conspiring with the enemy. as they were in the uniform or visor of their current Oklahoma location.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Very similar. And I think I had, we'll get to it, but I think there's one kind of phrase that can kind of sum up what was going on. High school hoops rankings. First ones came out on OSSA.rankings.com yesterday. We'll tell you where everybody's ranked. You know what? I hate to say this, but not a lot of participation from the Paragon schools. It's kind of weird to not look up and down the A and B boys and girls rankings and see that littered with the teams we covered, but it's really not so far. Now, there's still two-thirds of the season left to jump up in there, but not as many teams in the rankings as we're used to seeing. Then there were some games last night that we'll recap as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon, three radio stations. The Penny News is in the app, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. That website is thepennynews.com. Check it out through the app. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Both will be in action Friday with high school hoops. The Elks and Elkettes get their season started in a festival right here at Elk City. We've got Pampa Friday night and then Garden City, Kansas on Saturday afternoon. So we'll give you those game times for that and also the Paragon TV schools as well on Friday night.
You know what I call that one?
What's that?
The Battle of the Brown.
Yeah.
And white.
Garden City's got gold also, though.
Looked it up, though. I'm not sure.
Had they taken that out?
I think so. I was looking on their website, they have like a preseason, you know, kind of like an inter-squad scrimmage, and they call it Brown versus White.
This has happened in the past. This isn't the first matchup here, Garden City. And back then, there was some gold along with Brown and White.
I remember Garden City and Clinton actually having a home-and-home with each other. And I thought, is that brown or maroon? I couldn't tell on their football jerseys.
Yeah, there's some brown. There was some gold back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be. And then of course Weatherford and Piedmont. If you want to watch all the action, Weatherford, their girls are one of the better teams in 4A. They lost some, but brought a bunch back. They're number six to start in 4A girls basketball. They'll be playing Piedmont Friday afternoon, and then the nightcaps on Saturday will be Pampa and Weatherford. So a lot of good high school hoops to get the season started here at Elk City. And, of course, the Paragon TV schools will play Friday. And then come Monday, the big five-county conference tournament will start in Sentinel. That'll run Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday there for the five-county. So high school hoops, it's funny how fast it happens. I mean, just a week ago we're sitting here talking to Dennis about the semifinal with the Elks and Clinton. It's football, 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 football. And a week later, it's like, okay, football season's over. It's basketball. It happens so fast. I mean, you know, the next Tuesday, Clinton comes here for basketball. Isn't that wild? After just a week and a half ago being on the football field.
Wait a minute. Like a week from yesterday?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah, the season opener for the Red Tornadoes is going to be right here.
Yeah.
After playing in the state finals on Saturday, Friday.
Yeah, they're going to barely have their jerseys washed from that game, and then they're going to come over here and play basketball.
Hey, good news is they won't have to worry about washing those specific jerseys for a game. They got a whole 8 or 9 months before they need to put those back on.
Yeah.
Basketball ones are probably fresh and clean, ready to go.
They're probably, they're ready to do it. And, you know, and who comes with them? Oh, Coach Bliss.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him. It was kind of weird to see him.
I saw that, too. I saw that, too.
Gear. He was running the concession stand in the game.
Oh, was he?
Over at Clinton the first game, and he walked right down below us.
I saw that, and I go, wait, who is that? And I realized, oh, it's funny how a change of color can change, you know what I mean? Like,
his hair is still red.
Yeah, but I mean, like, change of school color. It's, like,
it's
that,
hard to, well,
yeah,
that, is that him?
Oh, that's Coach Bliss. Yeah.
All right,
that's
so
cool.
The rankings for basketball came out in Class A. Start of the girls' side, no surprise. Hydra Weekly, number one. The one thing I am surprised about is the fact that they didn't get every first place vote. 10 of the 79 went elsewhere. Whatever. That's ridiculous to me. But so Hydro Weekly 1, Okarchi 2, Ceiling 3, Van Oss 4, Rappo Butler at 6. You know, they've started out very, very well behind Katie Edlin and some of the other experience that they have there for the Lady Indians.
And, oh, by the way, they got one of those votes.
Yeah, and they got one of the – actually, there's 11, 12. Golly, Red Oak got one, too. As a
all the way down to 14, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever. The good news is it's all going to be played out. Yeah. But I promise you, the purple and white will be in the state tournament when we get there. And they're liable to be there on Saturday. Good luck beating them. I know they lost some. I get it.
They got a factory going on
over
there.
The Berkeys are still there.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
The coach is still there.
Yeah. There's a lot still there. Rappo Butler, though, is number 6. That's the only school that we cover in that top 20.
An area school, Thomas, at 13.
Our old friend Timmy Ellison down there at Navajo, number 11.
There you go.
5-0. I know that he had a team that was kind of a little bit kind of under the radar last year going into the playoffs. It didn't work out quite as well as what he was hoping, but apparently got some back. 5-0 for Navajo. They start out at number 11. Down in Class B, there's where you find the highest-ranked team that we cover. No surprise, it's the Hammond Lady Warriors. We'll get to their game last night. But Hammond, a solid number 2 with 9 of the first-place votes behind Lomega.
It's always good to be a solid number 2.
That's right. Lomega's 60. I see what you did there, but I'm not going to let you bring down the show. 62 first-place votes for Lomega. They're the strong number 1. They do have a loss already this year to Calumet. To Okarchi in overtime. You know, I know they lost some off of last year's state title team, Addie Wilson being one of those. But that could be interesting to watch. The more games Hammond plays, the more excited I am to see what happens down in Ada over Christmas break.
Me too.
At the birth of Frank Teague.
I'm really anxious to see Hammond in person. You know, I pretty much will maybe have one or two opportunities. The more I see him, the more I'm impressed with them. They look really, really, really solid, which shouldn't shock anybody. Hammond is Hammond, you know. I knew nothing about that freshman coming in. And West, is that her name?
Henley West.
She seems to be getting more acclimated to the varsity level with each game. But I'm with you. Bertha Frank Teague is going to be very telling.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's almost a mirror image of that season they won state, the last time they won state. You know, going – they seem like a solid team, a lot of returners. Go down to Bertha Frank Teague. The rest is history.
Yeah, on the text lines. But this could be true.
What's that?
The girls born in Lomega come out of their mama with a basketball in their hands.
No, I don't doubt that.
Could very well be true.
Yes. Yeah.
So Hammond 2, you've got other kind of area schools sort of. Lokiba Sigels is 3. They've been in the state tournament the last few years. Duke is down at number 7. Arnett. At number 8, you know, Brooklyn Bayless is one of the better players in the western side of the state for sure in small school girls basketball. Has been for a while. You didn't get to see her last year because I think she rolled an ankle before they played Canute, right?
Right. She was one of those different maker type of player. If she's not on their team, then it's that's the difference. And, yeah, didn't get to see her. And so, yeah, but I'm glad she's back. It looks like Arnett's going to be solid too.
Eric, number 12. Lady Bearcats at 4-2. That kind of rounds out anybody around here. Last night, let's start over at Canute. Canute and Visalia, probably the headliner as far as two matchups between two good teams. Either there or probably maybe Eric. But Canute gets the win on the girls' side, 49-44. Jade Gray with 18. I know Kelly Thompson had 12.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. She did play.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. She had 30. In that game.
Oh, we didn't know if she was going to play.
We didn't know if she was going to play. She did play. She had like 30, and I don't think anyone else scored in the double digits.
No.
She really carried him. Canute won the game. But,
I remember wondering if she was going to.
Yeah, she was questionable. I think she only really played half a season. Memory serves me right.
Yeah. So, anyway, 49-44 last night, Canute beat Visalia. Jade Gray with 18. Kelly Thompson, the sophomore, I heard you say, scored all 12 of hers in the second half.
Yeah.
McCracken for Veisside with 19, Watkins with 12. But a good win for Canute, 49-44. And I'm noticing, even to me, a better sign for the Trojanettes is a name you don't see here at the top of the scoring chart. It's Kylie Smith, so able to win a game without her having to be a dominant force.
Yeah, but don't kid yourself. She's still a force that makes stuff happen away from the ball. They're always aware of where she's at. She's able to penetrate, and then she can get it outside. The outside shooting was really crisp for Canute, and transition basketball was really good. That's how Kelly Thompson got a lot of her points. She kind of had a coming out party, as a sophomore. She's kind of I mentioned earlier about getting acclimated to the varsity level. You can see that that confidence grow with each bucket she put in last night. That's why I made her co-player of the game, but I couldn't ignore what Jade Gray did because she hit 4 3-pointers in the first half that really kind of kept Veisside at arm's length, and Canute was just able to keep him right there throughout the game and hold off a Veisside comeback there in the fourth. So it was an impressive win. Canute was down a girl. They only had a couple on the bench, really, to put in there, and Coach Riddling controlled that nicely with the short bench, how she rotated them in. They stayed out of foul trouble. That's always a thing when you got a short bench. You don't want to get into foul trouble. They were very, very good defensively without fouling, very consistent offensively. It was nice to – I mean, it was a nice – I would label that as a nice win. I know Veisside seems a little down. Watkins is back. She's the leader of that team. But, and that McCracken girl, she came on. I mean, she started the game like she finished the game. That would have been probably a different outcome. But, Veisside will get back. Casey Jones will have that team back. But I was impressed how Canute was able to protect their home court with a short bench and just play real solid, consistent basketball.
Yeah, on the boys' side, it sounded like the boys' game is almost the exact flip.
Yeah,
with the teams, Veisside controlling most of the action. Canute making a comeback at the end, but weren't able to get all the way there. 60-56, Veisside wins. Couple with 15, Randall and Hazel Baker for the Indians. Kyron Winery and Jackson Beck. Kyron had 17. Beck had 14 off the bench for the Trojans. I mentioned Canute, number 6 on the boys' side in Class A going into last night. So now 4-2. Veisside was 18, and they improve to 4-1. Arapo Butler also ranked. They didn't play last night. Arapo Butler, number 5 in Class A, one of the few teams outside of Hydro Weekly to get a first place vote were the Indians. So they're at 5th. Hydro, Garber, Vanoss, Calumet, Arapo Butler, Canute, Cyril, and Rattan are the top 8 there. On the boys' side, nobody. That's wild to see. But there's not a team that we cover ranked in the top 20. That's nuts.
Class B.
Yeah, and Class B boys. You got Duke at 3. Roth number 1, Pittsburgh 2, Duke 3, Mount View Godibeau 4. Tyrone, the state tournament team last year, they're still playing football. They haven't played yet, but they're number 6. Forgan's a team that came on at the end. I wonder, did those guys, are they still there? They had those move-ins. Did they graduate? Because that could sure be a team that's undervalued at 11 if that's the case.
True.
Funny to see Fort Cobb-Broxton in Class B again.
And funny to see them below 10.
Below one or two,
yeah.
They're 13. Laquipa Sickles, 16. Sentinel, 17. The Bulldogs have impressed early.
Yeah.
With Coach Tyler Snowden over there in his first year. They've really impressed. The one team to beat Arapo Butler is Sentinel. Lost to Cheyenne Raiden, lost to Canute. You saw that game. But then since then, they've knocked off Leedy, Arapo Butler, and then they won last night at Eric. So Sentinel's one of those teams that's making some early waves. Speaking of them.
Quick overreaction. Let me ask you. A lot of people overreact to these first week rankings. This team here, that team there, da-da-da. Are you over the Fort Cobb at 13? Is that – are you ready to say there it's a down year or – do you think Coach Hines can get him back to
I'm sure he can, but
This year.
I'm sure he can. I mean, when it gets to that playoff time, the guys like him are instrumental, and those guys have won and been on winning teams. Makes a big difference, but it remains to be seen if they're really a true contender to be anywhere near the state title. We'll see about that. I'm not convinced of that yet. And a team that it's just flat shocking not to see in the top 10 of Class B, much less top 20, is Leedy Bison. know, they're, yeah. they got off to a little bit of a slow start so far. They won last night 46-27. Luke Puffenbarger, 26 points. And I think he may be the guy that that is going to be called upon to really kind of carry that team. It's crazy. You know, it feels like Lance's teams have been so guard-oriented up there at Leedy over the past decade. I mean, you can just run through the list of guys that could really shoot and handle the basketball. That might be a little bit of their downfall this time. It's a little bit bigger type looking team. You know what I mean? Got the big guys, and the guards need to develop a little bit for them to have a chance to get back to that state tournament. They missed out last year after, what, 5 in a row? And so, you know, it's just shocking, though, to look at Class B boys' rankings and not see Leedy there. The Leedy girls got a win also over Sharon Mutual last night. And then there's Hammond. The Hammond Lady Warriors have just been absolutely dominant so far this year. 65-35 over Cheyenne Raiden. You mentioned the freshman Henley West, 18. Addison Walker had 15. They had another in double figures with 12. Abby Barton with 11 for Cheyenne Raiden. But, man, the Hammond Lady Warriors so far adding that freshman and that size of Henley West to what they had coming back, no one's been able to touch them so far in the early season, 7-0 already.
Yeah, like I said, just it's kind of mirror image of what they were the last title run. They're locked and loaded. Anxious to see them. Can I point something out?
Go
Class
ahead.
A girls.
Go ahead.
Team we didn't even mention. They played their first game last night. Ceiling.
Oh yeah. Well, listen, I'm already on record as saying the state finals will be Hydro Weekly and Ceiling.
What they did to a ranked Thomas team?
No.
80-36.
See, told you.
Yep.
Coach Hamer, I'm telling you,
it feels like a collision course
already.
Oh
man, and it was, yeah, and you know what it does, and it feels like the reverse, because
it was Hydro chasing Ceiling.
When Ceiling was finishing off their run, Hydro Weekly played them in the finals, what, 3 years ago,
right?
And yep. It was a really young Hydro team against the Gores and everybody at Ceiling, and Ceiling blew them out. It was like 18-0 before you could even get set down in your seat. And Hydro made it a decent game from there, but it was clear who was the better team. Then the Lady Bobcats have won the last two, and now they're coming back around with Ceiling having the young team last year. I think it was semifinals that Hydro Weekly beat them in the semifinals last year.
Yeah.
And it was almost the reverse. Hydro got out to a huge lead. Ceiling settled in and then did a little bit better job. And so now – let's see if we get that one again. I think that could be a fantastic matchup in the finals. I mean, we're a long ways away from that. I get it, but watch out. It feels like, you know, last year it felt like it was always about Hydro Weekly and Van Oss and Hydro Weekly feeling a little bit disrespected because they were the defending champs and Van Oss was number one pretty much all year, literally all year.
Yeah.
And Hydro Weekly blew them out in the finals. So we'll see.
Don't be Ceiling's surprised. Schedule is incredible to me. They go to the Tournament of Champions up in Tulsa here at the end of the month. They host their tournament, which Canute's in. I'm anxious to get over there and watch a little Ceiling. Hopefully you can. At Hammond in the middle of January, at the Bi-County over here in Merritt. And they even host La Mega towards the end of the year.
Get you ready, man.
Watch them through here. And if they start putting up 80 points consistently against some of these good teams, look out for Ceiling. Yeah. I feel a bet coming on, dude. You like Hydro, huh?
Well, yeah. How could you not?
I'm high on
Ceiling. They still got the Berkeys, baby. Don't forget to make your final picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. One final week. It's going to be a barn burner down to the end of that one with three guys tied with the exact same record. So don't forget, Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. You've made it all the way to the end. Now don't forget your picks before the final week, the conference championship week. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. All your real estate needs, check them out, Western Oklahoma Realty. All right, so the Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma situation just continues to get weirder and weirder. The more of the tidbits of information that come out, the worse it's starting to look for Riley as far as kind of having his trying to have his cake and eat it too a little bit with serving two masters throughout the season. I mean, it's clear that this didn't all materialize in the wee hours of Saturday night, Sunday morning, and then he made a rash decision to go USC. That's not what happened. Now, if he wants to use semantics and say he didn't personally talk to anybody until Sunday morning, that's fine. But he knew what was going on. His representation was having negotiations with USC throughout the season. That's just the truth. And anything he says to the contrary is either just flat-out lies or he's just using semantics to get himself trying to wriggle off the hook. Now, what that's doing to Oklahoma at the moment is it feels like every offensive player outside of Caleb Williams has jumped into the portal. Austin Stogner did it. Jaden Hazelwood did it. Theo Weiss just tweeted that he is in the portal. And so, you can understand that because of the connection to Riley and the offensive guru that he is portrayed out to be. Those guys are all offensive guys and all came to play for him. And, you know, whether or not they actually go somewhere else or just put their name out there remains to be seen. I mean, you have to get to make everything legal, which we'll get into something here in just 1 second, where it doesn't look like anybody off that former staff cares about that. But it to be able to be recruited legally by other schools, the first step is to get into that portal. So that's what all of those guys have done. And now, you know, there's reports yesterday Florida State was on campus talking to some guys, you know, that were in the portal already. And so you look at the it's amazing that 2019 recruiting class, the offensive class, one of the best ones in as far as stars and rankings that anyone could remember. Everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Or in the portal. Rattler, Bridges is gone. He got kicked off the team. Then Hazelwood, Stogner, and Weiss, all those guys appear as if they're going somewhere else and not going to finish up their career sooner. It's just wild from what they actually produced on the field versus the mega hype they created when all those guys went to Oklahoma together.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, the past, 3 days have been crazy. And I think that was the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, Riley's gone. Who else is going? And that this is expected. You start to find out who committed to the school and who committed to the coach. And it's I'm interested to see where they land. And I'm going to guess that some of them will land at USC. But another part of me tells me, you know, the uncertainty of what coach is coming in, will it fit what they wanted to do when they were recruited by Lincoln Riley? Does that make sense? So kind of goes back to our conversation, and I know we'll talk about this, about who the next guy is and what type of player he'll start to recruit. Because I think that's a shift that OU fans are going to have to get ready for is, you know, the wild and out, going crazy, throw it all over the place type of player, top-notch wide receiver. That might shift into the top-notch linebacker, you know what I'm saying? So it's a wait-and-see game right now.
Yeah, on the text line question, do any of these players leave and go from OU to OSU? Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know that I would expect many of the offensive guys to, just because I don't know that Oklahoma State's offense, first off, fits any of them, and it is kind of the explosive place that they wanted to be. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that there's a fit there. Now, if you see, you know, a Marcus Major or somebody like that from the running back side, then I think that becomes a lot more of a possibility. But I mean, when you look at Oklahoma State, you know, their receiver cupboard is nowhere near bare with those guys, the young guys with Green and Bray as freshmen kind of stepping up, Brennan Presley being there as just a sophomore. I don't know that they need them. And then with the utilization of the tight ends at Oklahoma State, or lack thereof, I mean, Jelani Woods is a guy that everybody wanted Oklahoma State to use for years. He didn't, and he transferred out. I don't know if that's a Stogner place either. You know what I'm saying? So I think if you start to see defensive guys or running backs or maybe even O-linemen, that could be a place. Oklahoma State could be a place for some of these guys. But as far as the receivers and the tight end, I don't know if that's really it.
I feel like those type of receivers that you mentioned are bound to go to like an Oregon or an Ohio State or a Florida State, like you mentioned, or even like I said, USC, something like that. No disrespect to OSU, but I just don't know if the fit is right.
Yeah, yeah. I just that's not the style of offense.
And does OSU
that they're
even
in.
Need them?
Yeah. Like I said, I think other positions, sure. You start seeing Oklahoma kids, sure. Jaden Hazelwood from Georgia, I don't know that that's where he's headed next. You know what I'm saying? Another question, do you think Riley ever considered LSU? I mean, we talked about yesterday, Mike Lombardi, who is a guy that is connected in the football world, reported that LSU had a catering party set up for Sunday afternoon to announce Lincoln Riley as their coach. Now, I would have thought it was more of a smokescreen myself using LSU to hide the fact that he was going to sneak out in the middle of the night to USC is what it seems like to me. But if that report is true, then at least LSU thought he was coming for some reason, not just pulling things out of thin air. And he reported that and then tagged it with, "I'm 100% on this." So that tells you
how more impressive is it that LSU quickly turned a rejection from Riley into an exception from Kelly in that short amount of time.
Well, and if that's true, that blows up the narrative of he was scared to go to the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, and something you said about the recruits, and I think at the end of the day, the lasting impressions of Lincoln Riley are going to be these at Oklahoma. And it's that he comes off as a guy that was born on third and thinks he hit the triple. He was handed a national title contending team in 2017.
Yep.
And if you look at his results, every team he was the head coach of, the next one was worse than the one before it. 2017 was a legit national title contending team. They got beat in the second half by Georgia and lost. 2018, that team was Kyler Murray. And that offense was off the charts. And that offense was so good that it was able to make a playoff appearance and win the Big 12 in spite of maybe the worst defense in the history of Oklahoma football. Then you had Jalen Hurts come in as the one-year stopgap between Rattler and Murray. And in that team, Grinch made the defense a little bit better. Hurts was good. And it ended up being a team that made the playoff when other teams folded down the stretch. And then last year happened, and then this year was worse than last year. So, you know, Lincoln Riley, the more of quote-unquote his guys he got on campus, the softer that team became. And now
– somebody pointed that out to me when I was real overreactive, and I said this might set OU back 5, maybe, you know, again, overreactive 10 years. And he pointed that out to me. He said, take notice of the guys he got on campus, not the guys that were handed to him.
Well, and offensively, when you look at his numbers, even back to the coordinator days in 2015.
By the way, he's about to inherit a program much worse than the last program he inherited.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get a bunch of guys with him.
Well, I get that, but you know, coupled with the fact that those guys that, you know, some would call soft or that just didn't produce at the recruiting ranking that you thought that they would produce, expectations are high for him at USC and I just want to see what happens if he loses 2 or 3 games his first season. What are they going to do?
They're not going to do anything.
How are they going to react?
It's less. 3 losses is way less than 8, they're about to have.
Yeah, that's true.
Or 7 for sure that they've already suffered. Let's get into the Roy Manning stuff because this, speaking of ways to set back his start, this could be one of those. So Roy Manning is defensive back coach under Riley here at Oklahoma. He's still employed by the University of Oklahoma. Still out on the road this week recruiting for Oklahoma with Bob Stoops making in-home visits. And then last night, a story about Damani Jackson, a 5-star defensive back that has narrowed his choices between USC and Alabama. Roy Manning's name comes up in the story as a guy that's recruiting him for USC.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Wait a minute. He's employed by OU. He's out recruiting with Bob Stoops, by the way, in Tulsa as early as Monday. And then the story Tuesday evening breaks talking about Damani Jackson's recruitment and how he's down to 2 and all that, and Roy Manning's name comes up. I mean, that's clearly a violation. Now, how serious a violation is, I don't know. I don't know the NCAA rule book. Was he texting Damani Jackson from his OU-issued phone? Is that the number he's got? Did he get a burner? I mean, there's so many questions that need to be answered about this. Did Bob make him walk home from where whatever trip they were on when he found out about this? Is he done at OU? Surely he would be. What in the world would they want him for?
Fire him immediately.
Yeah, and his little
and report him. That's a compliance issue.
Compliance. It was pretty. Did you see that tweet last night?
I did.
OU compliance tweeted out the same eyeballs that Riley would tweet out when a recruit had committed.
Yes,
pretty funny stuff there about 10:30 or 11 o'clock.
Yes,
it remains to be seen exactly what that was and the fallout from that. But I think it just plays back into the narrative of Lincoln Riley wasn't all in at Oklahoma from the word go this season. And wherever it was going to be, it turned out to be USC. The smoke with LSU was real. Whether or not the conversations were really there or not, it sure looks like it. According to Mike Lombardi, they thought they had him hired and already had a party set up for Sunday afternoon down in Baton Rouge. So, I think a lot of the things that OU fans were frustrated by throughout the season and the way that team played are a lot easier explained now.
Yeah,
when the story continues to unfold.
It felt like on the field, and it felt
unprepared,
like
right?
Unprepared, and it felt like he lost the locker room a little bit. It felt those kids are in the locker room. They're in the program. They're hearing the rumblings. They're noticing the body language and the difference in their head coach and the stuff he's telling them and not telling them and all that stuff. And it's little things like that to have a ripple effect in a locker room. And that's what I was kind of like. They looked unprepared, and it looks like he's lost the locker room a little bit with the stuff. Who was it that came out? Was it Benito?
Yeah, talking about practicing.
Talking about practicing. So now it's clear why. I mean, he had a foot out the door, it felt like, the entire season, and it's quite honestly amazing they're 10-2.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anybody thought this was why.
No, no.
You kind of had a feeling there's something wrong. I mean, there's something not quite right. What is it? I think now we know what it is. At no point did anybody say, you know what, I think Riley's looking for another job. Nobody ever said that. It was internal him and Grinch.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was a load of crap. They're out there together.
They're out there together, going to play tag football at practice.
But
yeah.
You wouldn't have just started. You wouldn't have come up with that until it actually happened.
Right. The biggest telling thing for me this season was the Baylor game after the bye week. When we talk about being unprepared, they looked completely unprepared. And those thoughts were coming to my head. What was he doing in that bye week? What could he have possibly been doing to prepare this team? Because it didn't look like he did anything.
Well, and then that's when the LSU started.
Yeah, yeah. So, listen, it's over. It's behind us. I'm ready to put the Lincoln thing behind us and start talking about the future. Who's going to be the head coach?
Do you think anybody will be hired when we come in here, let's say on Monday? Do you think that there will be a new coach at OU?
Yesterday, my confidence level as the day went on got higher and higher that, yes, I think it will be something. I wouldn't be shocked if we have something by the end of the day Friday. If we know more concrete.
Well, then that means it's Brent Venables. Because anybody else that anybody's talking about isn't available until after Saturday at least.
Right.
I've said this yesterday, and I've said it for 10 years. When you had the conversations of the hypotheticals, what if Stoops leaves? Who would you want to be the coach? Brent Venables was always the first name I said. Always. But I will say this: if it's not him, there's a name that we've talked about, and I mentioned it the very first day, that it's getting higher and higher on my personal wish list. And that's Dan Lanning.
Mm-hmm.
35, yep. Co-offensive coordinator at Georgia. He's been a recruiting coordinator a couple of different places along the way. Was with Saban as a GA.
You mean defensive? See, you said defensive.
Defensive coordinator, yep. Sorry. Sure. Yeah, see, skinny there and offensive. That's not what happened. That's not how that went down.
No.
It's not.
Everyone wants to believe that he got upset like Heupel did. And Heupel has a vendetta against – you know, Heupel does – he still has some bad feelings towards OU. Not Venables. I think Bob helped him.
He
not,
did.
Not it, say, hey, it's best if you leave. He's like, I'm going to help you find a good home.
No, and
if
and,
you want
and,
out, that's fine. I'll support you.
And as Venables is flying to Clemson on a layover, he starts having second thoughts and calls who? Bob Stoops, to talk it through, right, to make sure this is the right decision for him. There's not the animosity between Venables and OU like people want to believe. And matter of fact, it's still a pretty soft spot in his, soft spot in his heart for that university. I think it's his job if he wants it. Whether the decision for him is, man, this $2.5 million at Clemson being the defense coordinator with none of the pressure of the head coach.
Yeah.
Do I want to do that? Do I want to be a head coach?
You mentioned earlier their season lagged this year, and it was not because of their defense. Nobody at Clemson is thinking this is.
See, everybody wanted to fire him when he left. That's fans don't that the fans don't matter.
No.
The fans don't matter. It's the relationship that he still holds with Castiglione and with Bob Stoops specifically that make him.
Who is very involved in this process, by the way. Bob Stoops, that is.
Oh, 100%.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, here you go. Is landing a real candidate? I think so.
I think there's a lot of fire to that smoke.
I think Lanning is a real candidate. For sure.
Could it be a situation where Joe C. is interviewing these potential candidates and it's his decision, meaning, you know, going to them, go, okay, who would you bring in as your OC? What's your philosophy here? What would you do here? And then go, okay, well, these are our options, and I'm going to go offer this guy a contract.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's not a matter of, okay, we're going to offer a guy a contract. He turns it down. This is our next plan. If he turns it down, this is our next plan. He's lining it up to where he's going to go to them and go, okay, you're my guy. I choose you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be a huge part of it because there's still 13 hanging out in Norman. And if it's one of these defensive-type guys, which it kind of feels like that's where the momentum's
feels like
headed.
This is where the shift is happening.
They're going to have some sort of plan in place when they're named to go talk to Caleb Williams and keep him on campus.
You know, I checked on this. Somebody sent me this, and you probably saw it. I don't know if it's on the socials or not, but somebody went to Dan Lanning's Twitter. They found some recent followers.
OU players?
One being Caleb Williams. Wanya Morris.
I got to tell you, as
now,
much.
Now, does that mean.
It doesn't mean anything.
No,
but it might.
No. I mean, it could have been the opposite. Like, okay, I'm going to follow all these Georgia coaches because I want to go there. Not because that one Georgia coach is coming here.
Where are they going?
To Georgia.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
But
with Vandergriff down there.
People like to overread that stuff.
I don't see that with Williams. That doesn't seem like a fit for him.
Right.
Or you know, with Vandergriff already down there, why would he do that?
Right. And don't you love message boards?
I do.
Rumor, someone just dropped that Dabo is looking for a way to the SEC. Said he reached out to Joe C. and would bring Brent with him.
Oh, yeah. I bet that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Matt Rhule is another guy I know they talked about a bunch.
I don't think that's a thing. That's off. I don't.
God, if he brought Joe Brady with him.
Hey, that'd be great.
Oh. Or maybe just drop Joe Brady off. College football playoff rankings released last night, the penultimate rankings. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Bama 3, Cincinnati 4, Oklahoma State 5, Notre Dame 6. This all but guarantees Oklahoma State is in the playoff if Alabama loses, right?
And OSU wins.
Yeah, well, of course. OSU can't lose to Baylor.
Right. But yes, I agree.
Here's the question. I'm not surprised. To me, I'm not surprised that Oklahoma State has jumped Notre Dame.
No.
I thought maybe they would keep them behind just because then they could justify – hey, now they've got a conference title. Now they get the extra data point. Now they get to go past Notre Dame, right? But it was interesting because Gary Barta last night used Brian Kelly.
I was wondering about
as that. The reason for Notre Dame kind of being at number six.
I was wondering about that,
and for good reason. I say for good reason because there's kind of a disarray. You don't know what's going on there. But at the same time, and I referenced it yesterday, what would have happened if the basketball committee didn't put Michigan in 1989. Guess what? Seton Hall would have a championship.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know that you should penalize the players because the coach left, but I do kind of understand the reasoning behind it, if that makes sense.
I get it. I get it, but I was absolutely wondering about that. I thought, am I crazy to think that they would drop them because they don't have a head coach?
Okay.
And then I had a fun thought.
What?
Wouldn't it be cool if OU and Notre Dame were in a bowl game?
Well, Oklahoma would be in.
Both coaches. Or
here's the problem.
Teams without coaches.
Oklahoma would be in number 14, pretty well eliminates them from New Year's Six bowl consideration.
Right.
Okay, scenario time. Because we're down to six. It's obviously those six. Nobody else is making the playoff unless it is mass chaos, right? Okay. OSU wins. Cincinnati wins. Michigan wins. Bama wins. Who's in the playoff?
Georgia, Bama. And this is in no order. Georgia, Bama. Michigan. That's tough to put to leave out an undefeated Cincinnati who's done everything asked of them.
They're not a Power 5 school.
But they're not a Power 5. Big 12 is. OSU is. And OSU has that Big 12 title. I'd have
and
to
OSU's
lean,
resume is so yeah, much. Yeah. They have so many better wins.
Yeah. I'd lean OSU. Obviously, it's a hard, heavy lean towards OSU.
I would too.
But there'd be a lot of screaming, a lot of talking heads screaming. At why is in Cincinnati? Da da da.
Well, because they're not a Power 5 school.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. Okay, now here's the question: Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Cincy wins, OSU wins.
Georgia wins, Michigan wins,
Cincinnati and OSU.
Cincinnati and OSU win,
and then Notre Dame's still hanging out there where they're at.
If it's Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Cincinnati wins, and OSU wins.
Think it's those four?
That's those four. That's a clear picture to me.
What order?
Georgia, Michigan, OSU, Cincinnati.
I think so, too. I think unless Michigan were to lose, which at that point it doesn't matter, 2-3, it's still going the same place, right? So I think – as long as Oklahoma State wins and Bama loses, I think OSU is going to be the 3 seed, and that means they're going to be at Dallas.
As a 3 seed. Yeah.
Because 2 and 3, Georgia's going to get their choice. They're going to want to – Florida's close, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And then at that point, nobody cares. It's just, that's just designed for number one.
Right.
So that number one, Georgia, wouldn't have to play number four, right. Oklahoma State at – Arlington.
Yeah, they don't want that.
You know, we've seen those scenarios in the past where, like, OU and Bama in 18, they went to Florida, down to Miami, instead of Dallas because they weren't going to give OU that advantage.
Home field, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the 2 and 3 just works out how it does.
Just wherever.
Wherever the other one. That's
yeah,
right.
And so the other one doesn't go.
You know, Georgia down to Miami is a pretty easy trip. And so, man, it's just so ironic to me that after all these years, all 7 of these years, talking about how does Oklahoma get to Dallas, how does Oklahoma get to Dallas, you know, that Oklahoma State is one win away from what I think, playing 2 straight games in Jerry's world.
Mm-hmm.
One against Baylor and one against probably Michigan. I mean, if you're a Poke fan, though, if you're a Poke fan, shouldn't there be 2 teams you're massively rooting for this week?
Michigan.
Obviously, Georgia's one of them. Not Michigan. You got to be rooting for Iowa, right? Because if Iowa beats Michigan, you're a win in Dallas over Cincinnati from playing for a national title.
I think OSU's the better team when it comes to OSU-Michigan.
But, I mean, but you'd rather play Cincinnati than Michigan, right?
Of course, of course. But
man,
I still wouldn't have high anxiety if I have to go up against the Maize and Blue. You know?
It sure seems like OSU's defense built to stop that running game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't it?
Yes.
Very interesting. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Pokes, if you're listening to us, don't eat the rat poison we just put out there. Listen to Nick Saban. Don't eat the rat poison. Don't you do it.
All right.
What a great show. What fun. We'll start talking a little bit more about the playoffs and stuff.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.